This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, we're Murphy's Law.
We are indeed. And guys, it's really important that you support Joy during this year's Radiothon.
If you love our podcast, head to joy.org.au.
Sign up now. Go on, do it. I dare you.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Bronwyn and Tass, and we now have in the studio the very famous Chicks Talking Footy.
Do you normally get a welcome like that?
Well, nothing likes to pump our tyres, doesn't it?
Beck and Fiona, good morning to you both.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks for coming into the studio.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
It's exciting.
Mm. So today's AFL Pride Cup,
Pride Game.
Mm. It's not a cup.
No, it's a full
Pride Game.
See, I've got no idea about football.
Well, Pride Cup is a thing. This is just
Pride
the Pride
Cup
Game.
Pride Cup is the one that's out at Yarra Glen.
Well, it's out everywhere
is
now.
It now?
Well, I went to that. The one that Jason Ball set up. I've been to that.
That was the original
Pride Cup. That's the original
And now it's grown to every regional area and some metropolitan areas in Victoria.
Okay, so I just read a media release that came out of Vic Health and Pride Australia.
Yes.
That says that next year they're going to encourage every single sports club to have their very own Pride Cup.
Absolutely correct.
Tell us about that.
Well, the Pride Cup organisation that Jason Ball and James Lolicato are running is really, that's really their aim, is to entice, for want of a better word, I guess, sporting organisations from all over Australia to have their own Pride Cups. And as we said, it really started from what Jason did in Yarra Glen, but there's a list as long as your arm of regional areas that are having them. We went to Hamilton last year. I know there's one in... where else am I thinking? Shepparton, all kinds
Gippsland, Geelong on the weekend.
And then tomorrow the VFL is having a Pride game. So they're really kind of taking shape everywhere. And the Pride Cup organisation's going to help clubs put on their own.
So Vic Health's media release says that there's a growing body of research that shows that LGBTIQ+, we're growing in acronyms, plus are sports players feel like they need to be in the closet. Why is that? Well, and how does that work with the Pride Cup?
Well, I think it's fair to say that would be more men than women that would feel that way, because I think the women are quite openly proud of their sexuality in a way that the men aren't. And there still hasn't been a player that's come out in the AFL.
No, there hasn't.
A male
has there?
Player. So...
Yeah. When you look at AFL women's football,
they're all turning up to the best and fairest with their female partners and kissing their wives on TV and doing all sorts of things. So there's a much more of an openness, I suppose. In fact, they've probably got the reverse problem that you might feel uncomfortable if you're straight.
It's sort of spot the straight.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, it's definitely a gender issue, more so, I think, but.
So being in the closet, you think, is more a gendered issue?
Well, I know that there's male players that are out to their family and out to their club.
You mean AFL football players?
Yeah, AFL footballers. But they're not out to the general public. And I think it's fair to say that there would be a media storm if one, for the male player that does come out. So I think
Aren't we beyond that, though?
Well, let's face it, they'd be all over... all of the football media and...
But once we've got
we'd
the
get
first
them in
and,
here.
Once we've got the first and second out, it'll just be like old home week, won't
yeah,
it?
You sort of think they'd need a group to come out together and then dissipate the tension. But
that'd be quite a press conference.
Yeah, that'd be good, you know, 10, 20, 30.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about, you know, historically a number of our Olympic sports people hadn't come out and waited till their career was over before they did come out. Mm. Is that what was happening? They remained in the closet in fear of what impact it might have on their career.
Yeah, I think so. And also just being known as that person and not the attention being on their actual sporting abilities, their career, all that sort of thing.
And why is it okay for women to come out and we don't get that sort of attention?
So women are just leading the way.
I think the other thing with the AFLW too, potentially, is because it sort of sprung up out of nowhere, a lot of these women, I think, were probably already out in their local competitions.
Yeah.
And so it's a bit different to the men, where it's been this more long-standing competition. I think for the women, it's not like they were suddenly probably going to go back into the closet when they started playing football at the elite level.
Yeah, although speaking of some women, they hid their sexuality, you know, 10, 20 years ago. Players like Debbie Lee, who's, you know, one of the female players that have played the most games in the VFLW, or whatever it was called at the time. You know, she said that she encouraged players and, you know, talks about this as something that she's not proud of, but she did encourage players not to mention their sexuality and that kind of thing, because it's already tough enough being a woman playing sport. So, yeah, but I think women have definitely come a long way in that space.
So the Vic Health Research, which, from what I understand, interviewed nearly 4,000 people, said that many of those people who had been surveyed had actually witnessed homophobia and transphobia, or transphobia, I should say, at an AFL game.
Mm-hmm.
So is there something about the AFL culture that is still...
Well, I think things
have... stuck in the past somewhere.
Yeah, but I think that's changing. I know I set up a Hawks Pride group, and we had a couple of members...
Hang on. Hawks?
Hawks.
You're a Hawks supporter?
I am. Didn't I tell you?
Speaking of out of the closet.
Oh, no. That changes things.
Okay, well, that ends that interview. No.
I think I'm too scared to say who I am.
Couldn't you pick a better team to support?
Oh, 4 premierships in 10 years is not enough?
Oh, yeah, but they're such a dull team. And what about brown and yellow?
Ugh. I know. Honey and chocolate, darling. Honey
poos
and chocolate.
And
honey. Poos and wheeze.
Honey and chocolate.
I've never heard that before. I love it.
I like that, poos and wheeze.
No, I don't like that. Anyway, we did have a member experience homophobic slurs being yelled at a player nearby them, and they actually asked, it was a mother and her gay son, and they asked them to, you know, they said, look, I'm finding your language offensive, but they escalated. They got worse.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, well, sometimes really, when people realise they're hurting someone,
they'll pull their head in. Yeah.
But anyway, we took it to the club, and the club addressed it and gave them a warning, moved them from that area, and we're now working with the club to put their diversity inclusion plan together to have some objectives around making the club a more safe and inclusive place. So, and I know the venues around Australia are all specifically saying it's not okay to slur people according to their race, gender, sexuality, and they've specified that. So people can actually be evicted and lose their membership if they harass people in that way. So, you know, and all of that's happened in just 5 years. You think 5 years ago, would we even be imagining that there was an AFL Pride game?
Yeah.
And here we are at our third one. We've now got an AFL Pride collective. The Sydney Swans marched in Mardi Gras this year, so the first male professional team to do that. Your Richmond sponsored Midsummer. We've got 15 clubs that have an LGBTI supporter group. You think, you know, 5 years ago, none of that was there. None.
Wow.
And I think the thing too, when you talk about, I guess, the culture of AFL supporters, what I think's been really important is that the clubs have come out and said things. They supported marriage equality. They're all, bar none, supporting their LGBTI supporter groups. And I think AFL supporters, one thing they do is do what their clubs tell them to do. You know, if you're a diehard Collingwood supporter, if the Collingwood Football Club tells you to do something, you do it. And so I think that, to me, has been really one of the positives, is that the clubs have actually been doing things like Hawthorn, you know, you said, in that situation.
So they're leading the conversation. Yeah. That's what you're saying. They're actually showing leadership.
And I think that's how you get to AFL supporters, is through their clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one barracks for the AFL as such.
Right.
But you know, even then, the AFL changed their logo to yes during the
I remember that. But they got a bit of stick over that.
Well, they did. But isn't it funny when people support our community and they experience the homophobia that's out there?
Our very good friend Neil Mitchell actually made a huge issue about that.
Yeah.
To the point where they took the yes down, didn't they?
Well, they left it up for a day, yeah. But
that's all they were ever going to. I think that's the important thing too is they said that they were doing it for a day. It wasn't that they took it down in response to the criticism.
It was meant to be a media event to generate awareness.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, I do recall that argument.
So I think we have to celebrate progress that has been made. We've really, I think, a revolution's happened in the last 5 years and football clubs and the football community has such a big impact, I think, on the rest of society and shifting attitudes. Mm. So I'm just pleased to be part of that journey, really.
Mm. Look, I've been going to the football of late with my partner.
Who do you barrack for?
We follow the Tigers.
Oh. Yes. We've got a Crows supporter here.
Crows.
I'm out.
Is Crows North Melbourne?
No, Adelaide.
Oh, Adelaide.
All my Adelaide family. Oh. Half my Adelaide family are Crows supporters.
That's not even a
Power
place.
Powers supporters.
Oh, that's not even a
that's
team.
Awful, Tess. They're a very good team. My number two team.
Crows. Mm.
They are. They're fantastic. The Adelaide people adore them.
Oh, it's almost scary.
That's because I've got nothing else happening in Adelaide.
Insulting us since we came in.
I know, it's nice to be a guest on
this
show.
Insulting you.
Yeah, the Hawthorn Football Club, I remember it went in.
Embrace everyone, Tass. Yeah, everyone.
But the point that I was going to make is what I've noticed is the crowd behaves differently than it did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was standing room, it was mud, it was beers, it was cigarettes, it was pies, it was elbowing each other. It was really aggressive behaviour. Mm. And I do recall that my family would say, well, you know, this is not where, you know, good people go. Yep.
Yeah.
Now, there are signs everywhere that say, you know, it's unacceptable to behave badly. If you observe bad behaviour, text this number, text the seat. Mm. And I've seen that happen, actually. I've seen, you know, security arrive and question somebody and say, your behaviour is not acceptable.
Yeah.
And they did pull their head in.
Yeah.
So do you reckon there's more violence? You know how we've had this couple of incidents recently? Do you think there's more violence? I mean, we laughed because, like, the footy that you describe is the footy I grew up with.
Yeah.
And people said, oh, you know, there's a fight after the football. I was like, well, hello.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the norm, wasn't it, Bron? It was the norm. Yeah.
There does seem to be a resurgence of fighting, though. We talked about this on our show the other night, and I said, this is why we can't have nice things. People need to behave. If you're not going to behave, stay at home. But it does seem to be, I don't know whether it's just like, the media's picked up on it. I mean, we all see fights.
Humans are funny, aren't they? One person touches an umpire and then everyone starts touching an umpire.
That's right.
Yeah, but some of those umpires
need touching.
I've seen the way they actually discriminate against the Tigers.
Oh, here we go.
You're trying to make friends with Beck now, aren't you?
Yeah. We're going to take a very short break. And we will be back with more chatting with the Chicks Talking Footy.
Maybe.
Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
And if you've just tuned in, you are listening to Saturday Magazine. We're on the last leg of our show, chatting here with Bronwyn Pike and, of course, the lovely Fiona and Beck from Chicks Talking Footy.
And we're still recovering from Tass's last comment that somehow Richmond players were being discriminated against by the umpire.
They were.
Breathtaking.
They were. I mean, what we had was a case of Richmond playing really well, that the other team were feeling a little bit sort of fragile.
Get quick.
And the umpires.
Can we listen to our guests? Quick. Can we talk to our guests?
I think our guests are speechless.
Now, Beck, our little birdie has told me that you're doing something special in Sandringham.
I am.
Tell
tomorrow,
us about that.
Tomorrow is the first ever VFL Pride game, which is fabulous for that competition to
first
be
ever.
Involved. Absolutely. So it's the Sandringham Zebras and the Frankston Dolphins, and I just can't get enough of the idea of zebras and dolphins playing football against each other. But that is out at Sandringham. I'm the MC for the lunch beforehand, and they've got some great guest speakers. There's James Lolicato from the Pride Cup, Hannah Mountsey, who's a wonderful trans woman who's playing in the VFLW.
Oh, we've met her. We met her at Yarra Valley just recently.
She
got up and told her story, which I found really moving.
Tynan Wimar, Nikki Wimar's son, he'll be there. He's a young gay man about town.
Yeah, we met him too.
He'll be on our broadcast tonight Joy as well.
And Sam Gilbert from the St Kilda Football Club, who will also be on our broadcast tonight.
And who's Sam Gilbert?
He's a St Kilda footballer.
Oh, right. Not an out one.
No. A wonderful
ally. We don't have one of those yet,
do we? No. But Sam was sort of an ally before it was cool, I reckon. You know, like a lot of the footballers now.
Yeah, they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Are wonderful allies. But Sam was really doing it at a time, I think, when it wasn't as cool is really the best word I can come up with to be an AFL footballer saying, I really embrace the LGBTI community. So he's a very good man.
Mm. Amazing.
Mm.
So, what happens? You MC what, the lunch or something?
Yeah, so there's the lunch beforehand with the guest speakers, and then they'll go out on the field with their rainbow. They've got some great rainbow Guernseys, rainbow 50-metre lines, all the jazz. So
and do you hang out their medals and all that sort of stuff at the end?
I don't know. No one's asked me to. Sure, why not?
You're doing the jumper presentation. We rent back out for $5,000 a day.
Yeah, that's right. That sounds like something I could do. Yeah. Who knows? So, yeah, that'll be tomorrow after we get through our AFL game tonight.
Yeah.
So it's a big Pride footy weekend.
Yeah, it certainly is.
So
who's going to win tonight?
To Sydney.
I reckon St Kilda will win. I don't know why, because they don't deserve to, but I just feel like they need to. And
Beck's got a way of tipping the underdog.
Yeah, I do. Mm. I can't help it.
Yeah, so you're not an evidence-based,
No.
No, so you tip with your heart.
You just make it up.
That's why I'm at the bottom of my tipping competition.
You won't believe this, but for years and years and years, I used to win the footy tipping competition at work.
No, I believe it.
Oh, there's always
you know
that
why I
person.
Believe it?
Why?
Because people that aren't emotional about football make better tippers.
Absolutely.
No. You know what I did? I outsourced my tipping.
Oh, yeah, that's smart too.
I would find one of those people who was exactly that, not emotionally connected.
Right.
A deep thinker, very analytical, studied the form guide like you would never believe. Mm. The deal was I paid for it and we shared the winnings.
Gee, that's quite
50-50.
A setup.
50-50. And for years, and people would just roll their eyes and say, how do you do it? Wow. I was never closeted about how I did it. I was very open about it.
You're out open about your corrupt tipping.
It's not corrupt. It's not corrupt.
So Swans are going to win. St Kilda's going to win.
Yeah, maybe it's a draw.
What's everybody tipping? Everyone
would tip the Sydney Swans.
Yeah, they would, except me.
Yeah.
But
In fact, Sydney have won every Pride game so far.
Yeah, they have. Mm. Quite convincingly too, but that's beside the point.
Okay, so Pride Cup, we've got Geelong tomorrow.
Yes.
We've got Sandringham tomorrow as well. We've got something happening in Gippsland on June the 17th.
Yes.
And we've got something happening in Hamilton.
Mm.
Hamilton's doing a Pride Cup.
They did one last year too that we went to, which was really, really great. They the whole town was decorated in rainbows and everyone really got behind it, which was wonderful given it's got quite conservative sort of ways about it downtown Hamilton.
Yes. Yeah.
It was funny too actually
Western
because
district.
Mm.
Yeah, it was funny too because Charles Beaton and Annie Nolan, who is a wife of the player in the Bulldogs, Liam Picken, they did the initiative for Hamilton Pride game and grew up with a lot of homophobia in the town. And Annie told us recently that in Hamilton, the yes vote during the plebiscite was actually higher than her inner city electorate.
Jeez.
So you sort of wonder, what do Pride Cups achieve? Yeah. But it changed a lot of attitudes, I believe, to have that effect. So.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm. Mm.
Well, then we followed up with Morty Alec. Morty Alec has their Pride Cup on the 7th of July. Colac has theirs on the 28th of July. Now, Colac's interesting because they've been in the press about their gay comedians.
Mm.
And then followed up with the Gold Coast. Now, you made an interesting observation about the Gold Coast. What was that?
Well, it's interesting that the only two clubs that don't have an LGBTI supporter group are the Gold Coast and Brisbane Lions. So I think it's great that there's going to be a Pride Cup up there because it's one area that's been neglected.
Why do you think, it's been neglected and maybe just reflective a little bit of some of the community, but shouldn't be. I mean, as you said, you can turn things around. It has a terrific role to play.
Absolutely.
Into people's attitudes.
There you go.
Fantastic.
So
tonight we have a big broadcast.
Tell us more about tonight.
Yeah, so it's exciting tonight. Last year we were up in Sydney for the Pride game, so we all travelled up as a big contingent, and we're happy to be on home turf again this year at Etihad Stadium. So St Kilda are hosting this year, so they alternate between the Sydney Swans and St Kilda. And I guess tonight's really a celebration of what's happened in the last 12 months particularly. Mm-hmm. So, I guess marriage equality is literally...
And there'll be banners. Do you think the banners will be up?
So the ground will be coloured in rainbow. The players will be wearing rainbow guernseys and socks. And I imagine there'll be a 50-metre line that's made of rainbow. And the umpires usually wave rainbow flags when people get a goal. So it's going to be a great night, and Minus 18 is the official charity partner for St Kilda Football Club, and we've got over 30 guests on our broadcast. So one of the ambassadors for the St Kilda Football Club is Georgie Stone. So she's the
young woman from Elwood.
Yeah.
So Elwood High School.
Yeah, well, her family actually campaigned for trans teenagers to not have to go through courts to go through transitioning. So they've been an amazing family. And we'll be on from 6 o'clock tonight. All the way till 10.
Gee, that's a long night.
That's a long stint for you
guys. That's a long broadcast.
That's right. But lucky we have a strong bench, so there'll be lots of different hosts around the night.
And you're calling the game?
No.
How does that happen?
We're not allowed to do that.
Oh, okay.
So we have we interview, as Fee said, 30 people throughout the night. So we have got everyone. We've got, as we said, Georgie Stone. We've got Roe Allen, Martin Foley, some players. Players from Sydney, players from St Kilda, some wonderful LGBTI advocates, Casey Conway, who's a former NRL player who's out.
Saints Pride, Sydney Pride, Rainbow Swans will be there.
So you're really feeling the love, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're really immersed in this sort of pride and love.
Yeah, this is our LGBTI AFL Christmas. It's when we get the family together.
And it really is a celebration. I mean, this is our third AFL, and we did the AFLW Pride game as well. So we're pretty match fit. But it is... I know. It's good, isn't
kicking
it?
Goals, Beck. Kicking goals.
Yeah, I really am. Thanks for the handball, Fee.
Tip your hip and shoulder.
Yeah. It really is a celebration, you know. It's a really fun night. I always enjoy it. It is exhausting, I tell you, after 4 hours on air. We still get ourselves up for the after party.
Sure.
But
it's a miracle.
It's sure. We're good like that. But it really is just a real celebration of football and the LGBTI community and everything that's great, really.
So. Bronwyn, this is quite a contrast to the conversation that we had this morning with Mark Dreyfus.
I know.
Mark Dreyfus was really articulating that there is a resurgence.
Yeah, it's a backlash.
There's a bit of a backlash that's occurring. And what we're hearing from you two, this is around the marriage equality. And what we've got is these conservative groups who are beginning to sharpen their swords and get their claws ready to start another fight. Yet what we're hearing from you two is a real sense of joy and celebration.
Because this reflects the community.
Yes, it does.
The groundswell. It doesn't affect some elite kind of view.
I think you're always going to have that crowd that stands for things that are opposing us. But their message is quite negative, I think, whereas our message is positive, and it's about celebrating who we are, celebrating our community at the football. We're not trying to tear anyone else down by doing that or exclude anyone else. This is just about us celebrating us. So I'm not really worried about that message coming through.
Okay. Do you see that negativity at all in your work?
Not a lot, to be honest. I think we create a positive space for the LGBTQIA AFL community, as we call them. And I think set an example for some positivity.
When there are incidents, what's been lovely is how the clubs and you know, the supporter groups and everyone's just come around people to support them and say it's not okay. And I think that's that kind of behaviour is really being stamped out. So we see it, and we, you know, it, social media can always be an interesting place with that. But don't read the comments.
Fiona and Beck, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks
for
having us.
It's been delightful to have time to chat with you again in the studio. You do amazing work. You really have changed the face of football. You really have, for so many people. Thank you for your efforts. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, and have fun tonight.
We will do that, that's for sure.
And thanks for having us once more.
Yeah. It's always our pleasure.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.